Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I owe God so much. I owe God everything. When I went to bed last night, my Heavenly Father tucked me in and put an angel to guard my bed. When I woke up this morning, He was there to get me ready for the day. I have a Heavenly Father that watches over me. And I can preach from now to when the cows come home. I can shout it from the mountaintops. I could never express the love of God for you and for me. Never. Paul said, oh, that you would know it. And then he says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Okay, so take note. Here's a message that is written for the church. This is for the church age. This is that the power of God and that Jesus Christ might be glorified in the church. We're going to come to that in Ephesians and chapter 4 as we get into it. I want to say this at the beginning of the message. I wouldn't give two hoots for a ministry that isn't based out of the local church. I'm telling you, they're not grounded. They're not established. They're not going to stay true to the book. This is the church age. It is not the Bible college age, the university age. This is the church age. It is not the government age. This is the age of the church of Jesus Christ. And He is the head of the church. And He is about building up His church. In other words, adding to the church. People getting born again. People getting saved. People after salvation, following the Lord in the waters of baptism. People growing in the things of God, being established in the truth. That's the church age. There's so many that need to hear. I had the privilege again on Friday morning of doing a funeral. And about a dozen people received Christ as their Savior, made professions. I think first time professions of faith. That's good. I at a funeral, I explained the gospel. Man, every jot and every tittle, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I'm not about making rice Christians or telling somebody they're going to go to heaven that never got saved. I make it as clear as I possibly can. When you do that, people get saved. People get born again. We have so many neighbors, friends, coworkers, family members that aren't yet in the family of God. I want to challenge you this morning to live like a Christian so that others will come to Christ. I'm told that only 74% of the population of Michigan ever darken the door of a church. That's Michiganders. I'll bet it's higher than that with Upers. 6 out of 10 millennials verbally will tell you they have no time for God. They've turned their back on the God of heaven. My last count, I checked it this morning on the internet, 38,696 people live in the county of Chippewa County. Most of them aren't born again. This morning, right now, this Lord's Day morning, there are less than 1,000 in a gospel preaching church of any kind or stripe. And I will tell you that most of them are in this church. That is a sad commentary on our effort to reach our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem, Dafter, Sault Ste. Marie, Barbel, Red Yard, Trout Lake, Brimley, Bay Mills, and Paradise, Pickford, Raber, Detour, Gatesville, Stalwart, Drummond Island, Cedarville, Hessel, Kinross. That's our Jerusalem. In every one of those places, people live and die without ever hearing the gospel explained to them. And we gather on Sunday morning in the early service, and then in Sunday school, and now in the main service at 11 o'clock. we pick up our hymnals and we sing good songs. We sing about Jesus. We sing about being fishers of men. We sing about throwing out the lifeline, about reaching souls for Christ. The preacher stands up and he preaches. And sometimes we just kind of feel good about ourselves and we go home to our comfortable situations. And right down the road is a neighbor crying out in the middle of the night, God, what's the answer? God, if I only knew you. That is our responsibility. And I want to paraphrase what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach through this verse by verse as quickly as I can, but know this. We have got to live like Christians in order for others to be hungry for Jesus Christ. We know what it is. We got saved. We're saved by grace. We know the joy of the Lord. And if we go out into the world and we don't evidence that, we don't show that, our coworkers and our neighbors and our family members, they'll never want the Christ that we have. In fact, many times it's just the opposite. I'll talk to somebody and they'll say, oh, does so-and-so go to that church? I say, yeah, they come, they sit in such and such a pew. Say, well, if they go to that church, I'm not interested. If that's a Christian, I'm not interested. Man, that's a sad commentary. Now, every once in a while, in fact, more often than not, I get it the other way. And I just got one the other way this last week. And it was actually about our sports teams. And the guy said, man, if I was ever going to go to church, I don't go to church. But if I was ever going to go to church, I'd go to that church fundamental. Because I've been impressed with the young people over there and in basketball. That's a good thing, but that's just the platform is all that is. We've got to tell them about Jesus. We've got to tell them who Jesus is. Let's go to Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, Paul wrote this. And when he wrote this, he was in prison in Rome. But he wasn't a prisoner of Rome. That's not what he wasn't complaining. He said, I belong to Jesus. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That old English word beseech means beg. I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. He said, I beg you, believers at Ephesus, believers in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, I beg you, listen to the word of God, I beg you, live like a Christian. Walk worthy of the vocation that you have been called to. I don't care if you turn a wrench for a living, if you babysit for a living, if you guard prisoners for a living, you run a business for a living, whatever it is you do for a living, that's fine. That is not your full-time vocation. Your full-time vocation is to be a Christian, live like a Christian, be a child of God in a world of darkness, 24/7, everywhere you go, Walmart, any store, any restaurant, talking to any waitress, talking to any sales clerk, doing business, anywhere you do business, at any ball game, you are to be an ambassador of heaven, be an advertisement for the grace of God. You need to recognize that people are watching you. They know who you are. They know where you go to church. They know that you claim to be a born-again Baptist. And if you talk in a way that doesn't honor God, you chase them away from Calvary. You run them away from the Savior. What a terrible... You talk about blood on your hands. That's right out of Ezekiel. Blood on your hands because you are a selfish Christian. Let's read about it. Verse 2 says, you're called to this. Verse 2, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, live like a Christian. Be a follower, a mimicker of Jesus Christ. Pattern your life after him. He says, use meekness. That's being under control. That's not being a bull in a china shop. That's being under control. Long-suffering, that's persevering. Forbearance. To forbear is to put up with. We need to do that as children of God. For the third time in this epistle, he tells us to walk in love. That love is an agape love that's described in this chapter. That's a love whose only source is God. That is a selfless love. That's a love that puts other people, esteems others better than themselves. Hey, we're right here in the heat of summer and it's really easy to get cranky, selfish. I couldn't believe it. My wife was a little bit cross with me last night. I said, that's just not right. That shouldn't happen in a preacher's home, should it? No, never. She got a little bit short with me. I wanted to snap back, but being the loving man that I am. Agape love. Agape love is a, hey, you don't need, if you wouldn't laugh, visitors wouldn't know what I'm really like, all right? Agape love is a selfless, you first kind of love that only comes from God. That's a kind of love and a lifestyle that's lived out, that's permeated with that love, that draws people to the Savior. That draws others to Christ. Especially if your coworker sees a changed life. What an advertisement for heaven that is. We're on display. We're marching in the parade. Everybody knows who we are. We had to carry our colors, the flag of the gospel, blood red gospel, real high, so everybody knows we're children of God. Don't be ashamed of telling people that you're born again. I make it a point of telling people. They say, "Oh, I'm a Baptist. I'm a born again Baptist preacher." One lady said, "Well, I never met that kind before." I said, "You're probably right. Maybe right. Born again. That means I belong to God now. I have a heavenly Father." And we have a calling. We are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And it says we're to live like a Christian. And then he says in verses 3 and 4, there's one body, one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, and one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Second thing we need to do if we're going to reach our Jerusalem, live like a Christian. And number 2, get together. Get together. Now, verses 4 through 6, very evident. There's one way to heaven. There's only one God. There's not 2 ways to heaven. There's not 100 ways to heaven. There's only Jesus Christ. And he says, as children of God, and sometimes we're guilty of being dysfunctional as a family, we got to get together. Find a way to get along. We've got to, for the sake of souls. I know some families are dysfunctional and they just don't get along. And their home is not heaven on earth. And I feel for them. I really do. And the family of God, sometimes it's a bigger problem. We've got to find a way. I'm talking about fundamentalists. I'm talking about people that believe in the blood atonement, that believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. I'm talking about people that have put their trust and faith in the finished work of the living Savior, Jesus Christ, and know that he's ordained the church, and know that he's put pastors to under-shepherd the church, and know that Jesus Christ is coming again to rapture his church from this earth. People that know that, we've got to find a way to get along. Not compromise doctrine. Get along. Love one another. It's huge. John 14 and verse 35. Why don't you all turn there? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. I'm sorry, chapter 13. I might have told you 14. John 13. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Do I hear some murmuring out there because I got something wrong? Where's that agape love I just preached about? In fact, that was a test. Some of you are failing right now, so get with it. All right, here we go. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know what identifies? Listen to this. Sometimes we're so concerned about being a fundamentalist, we forget our relationship to God. You know the identifying mark of being a born-again child of God? We love the brethren. There is an undying, unbreakable love between members of the family of God that the world knows nothing about. You got 2 brothers in the same nuclear family. They're blood brothers. They're at odds with one another. They still love one another. Man, they still go to war for one another. They still would stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle, even though they're fighting over whatever it might be, some land or something. Who knows what it is, all right? But they're brethren. We, as the children of God, are blood brothers as well. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, and it binds us together. And nothing, the Bible tells us, Paul told the church of Corinth, your hearts need to be knit together. Nothing take you apart. That's what we got to get together in the family of God. Let's never take off our hat of being a fundamentalist, a Bible fundamentalist, because that's so important. That's doctrine. That's rock solid. You wear that hat, but stay together. Find a way to be together. We got to make what Jesus has done for us appealing to this dark, dysfunctional world in which we live. By the way, a brother got odd against you, get it right. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold any grudges? If you're here and you're a sister or your brother and you hold a grudge over somebody, shame on you. You're saved? Shame on you. Man, that doesn't go along with the blood atonement. That doesn't go along with being a member of the family of God. That's carnality, is what that is. You say, well, they won't get it right. Forbear. We just read that. You be the spiritual one, and you love them anyway. I love a lot of people that don't love me. In fact, if I were to start weeding them out, I might be in some kind of trouble. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 7. Let's go all the way down to verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascendeth, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, paradise? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Now, we've got a gift. Everybody is gifted. This is just one of the three lists of gifts in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and right here in Ephesians in chapter 4. And here he's talking about the leadership gifts. All right? And these are gifts to the church. If we're going to reach our Jerusalem, we've got to live like Christians, we've got to get together, we've got to get along, and we've got to use our gifts. Now he lists some of them. He says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I pause here real quickly and explain that an apostle is someone that was appointed and sent by Jesus Christ and was taught by the resurrected Christ. You are not an apostle. I am not an apostle. That was a gift that was a temporary gift. It was a gift, one of the temporary gifts before the completion of the New Testament, the completion of the Word of God. When that which is perfect has come, the Bible, then that which is in part was done away. And that was all the sign gifts, all right? So apostle, a prophet is someone who foretold the future. Old Testament prophet. This is written before the New Testament is completed. A prophet of God was right 100% of the time, and he preached what God told him to preach. Now, there are prophets today in the sense that they're foretelling what God has revealed in the book. But there's no literal gift of the prophet in operation today. Then he says, and he gave some evangelists. These are men that were gifted in the area of presenting the gospel and others get saved. Everywhere they go, people getting saved. Almost everybody they talk to, it's just like they're ready and waiting and people getting saved. There are people in our congregation that have the gift of evangelism. Use it. And I'm telling you, use it in the context of the local church. That doesn't mean just within these four walls. Go out into the world and win people to Christ under the authority of the local church. It's the church age. Then you go out, you win them, you try to bring them into the church so they can grow. The rest of what we're going to read here this morning. But win them to Christ. That's the first step. And some pastors and teachers, play on the Greek there in the Textus Receptus, in the majority text, there's pastor, teacher. I believe there are people gifted to teach and people obviously gifted to pastor. But a good pastor, he better be a teacher. Otherwise, you're just standing up and telling stories. And that's okay for a little while, but you're not going to grow a church that way. It's expository Bible preaching. Preaching is not teaching, but good preaching involves teaching. It's there. It's in it. And it's zealous. And it's authoritative. And has the breath of heaven upon it. Now understand, this is done for the church. We all have gifts. Some have the gift of helps. Some have the gift of giving. Some have the gift of administration. There's all kinds of gifts listed in operation today. Use that gift. That makes the body strong. That means we're firing on all cylinders. We're getting it done. And the reason is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These leadership gifts here are for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing, the equipping, and the building of the body of Christ. I'll say this one more time because I know it's not a big issue here, but I want you to be strong in this area. This is a New Testament local church. And again, I wouldn't give you two hoots for any ministry that's para-church, isn't connected. They're doing their own thing. They're on their way to compromise. Got to be connected to the church of Jesus Christ. There's a difference between a church ministry and a para-church ministry. The para-church ministry kind of runs alongside the local church. They do their own thing, and they're prone to compromise. Every time. No exceptions. So you got an illustration, preacher? Yeah, the Red Cross. That was a para-church ministry. Started out as a soul-winning ministry. Yeah, the YMCA, Young Men for Christ. YWCA, Young Women for Christ. That's not what it's about today. They were parachurch ministries. They lasted for a time, and now they're a social ministry. They just got to where they are today. This is the church age. Operate your gift within the realm of the local church. Get out there and use them for the glory of God. Use your gift. Verses 13 through 15. Oh, man, I'm good. I've got 10 minutes yet, minimum. All right. Verse 13 says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, a complete, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. You know where to get to be like? Jesus Christ. That's why they were called Christians. They were called little Christs in that first century church, because they were just like Jesus. Wouldn't it be great to be known as a church filled with people that are just like Jesus? Man, I've never met Christ, but I believe he's a lot like the people that go to Fundamental Baptist Church. Wow, would that be a compliment? Man, I don't know what Jesus is like, but I've never met anybody like you. You responded in a way I didn't expect you to respond, or I've been watching you. There's something different about you. Just like Christ. The fullness of the stature of Christ. If you were Christ-like, you would stick out like a sore thumb in this culture. Even among many Christians, you'd be so different than most Christians that you'd stand out in a crowd. We're to grow to that. I hope as you get older in the faith, you get bolder. I hope as you get older in the faith, you talk more and more about Christ. I hope you're 15 and you talk about Jesus all the time. You'd be different than everybody else around you. You'll reach your Jerusalem. I led people to Christ when I was a teenager, one-on-one. There are teenagers here that do it. A lot of you, when you were teenagers, if you were born again and going to a good church, you were leading people to Christ. Man, get back to that. Allow God to use you. Grow up. Love one another. There's a lot to be read here. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. By the way, in this very same book, this very same letter, the Apostle Paul says the glory of Christ is in the church. It's a theme all through the New Testament. We're to grow in grace. Let me do some summarizing here. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 17. Chapter 5, verse 17. We want to reach our world. We got to live like Christians. How do you do that? Learn to love one another. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirreth up strifes, plural. But love covereth all sins. Peter says almost the same thing. Love, agape love, covers a multitude of sins. In the family of God, find a way to get together. Use your gift for the glory of God. Grow up and become more like Jesus. Learn to love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. Not by the suit that you wear, but by your love one for another. Verse 17 of chapter 5. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. That new man. We're to be filled with the Spirit of God. As I scan down, go back to chapter 4, and I scan through some of these verses. Verse 24, I'm to live out and allow to live the new man that's in Christ, not the old sinful nature. Verse 27 says, I'm not to give place to the devil. I'm not to be an angry man. I'm not to give the devil an inch. I preached to men here this morning. It's easy to be an angry man. It's easy to just let go and be wrathful. Show your anger. Snap at those that are around you or those that are under your authority. Don't grow up to be a grumpy old man. Nobody's going to like you. Know the sweetness of God. Paul said, don't be angry. And then he says in verse 27, don't give an inch to the devil. Verse 28, he says, work. Change your life and work and provide for others. That's Christ-like. Verse 29, curb your tongue. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but instead build and minister grace unto the hearers. Let me read verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and all that be taken away, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Say, preacher, why did you preach this message this morning? Must be some Christians fighting. Well, I've been out at the camp, so I didn't see any fighting out there. I saw good fellowship. I saw people that literally bled and sweat, and yet we all got along. That was pretty good. That was good fellowship. So I'm not preaching this message in reaction to anything that I know is going on, except this. I know we live in a county of people that are lost and going to hell. And if we're going to win our Jerusalem, we got to start living like Christ. It can't be, well, I got in, I got my fire insurance, and I know I'm going to heaven. Bless God, that's a wonderful truth. But what about your neighbor that you have chased away from the Savior? Maybe you need to go back to that neighbor and apologize. Say, you know, I think I misled you. I shouldn't have done that or said that. Would you forgive me? And tell them about Christ. Our Jerusalem, old couples, they live their life. They sit down every night in front of the same television set and wait. They pillow their head at night and wonder what the answer is. Young couples, young families, struggling. Their kids don't behave. They struggle to make ends meet. Life is as vicious as it gets today. No one cares. And the young man started to think, well, maybe if I had a different wife. And the young lady's thinking, well, grass is greener on the other side. If only my husband was like that. And they're listening to the devil whisper in their ears. There's the answer. More money. That's the answer. You know how many rich people, I look at them as rich, that I know, that are completely, completely miserable. They're paupers and the things of life that really matter. We got to tell them about Jesus. There are teenagers thinking that jewelry on their face and tattoos on their body and drugs in their system, that's the answer. There are young men that think that ball player on TV, that's their hero. I got to tell you something. My hero doesn't wear a cape. My hero bore a cross. My hero doesn't jump tall buildings. My hero conquered death. Jesus Christ, he's the answer. We got to tell people. Live right. I'll say one more thing, and we have the altar call. For people that know you, you won't win them with your Bible. You'll win them with your life. The people that know you. You can quote Bible verses, and it may convict them. But if your life hasn't changed, you give those Bible verses no credibility. Your new creation in Christ, shout it.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.